Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to another Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. And apologies for no Get a Grip last week. Occasionally, we're just both going to be in different parts of the world, and that's going to happen. But Max, I don't want this to be the trend. I don't want the trend to be we don't do a podcast and then you go out there and shoot 65-65 on the weekend, man. That can't be the good, positive vibes that you want to go in from the pod.
Yeah, no worries there. I'm not going to get superstitious and completely banish the podcast because I finally played well when we didn't have a pod. But no, it was nice to play good. I did miss doing our podcast, but we finally had a week where we're both, you know, on the road and playing golf. So that has fortunately not happened yet. But yeah, we had to take advantage.
Yeah. I mean, I thought we'd run into this issue more, you know. I mean, I thought this would be something, obviously, with the summer schedule we had, we might have a little bit more, just kind of trouble getting together, but hadn't really been the case outside of this week. So first event in your 30s.
And
you finish right. You're going to maybe 30s is the time for Max. Maybe you're a 30-year-old golfer. I mean, Dustin won his Masters in his 30s. I mean, you see guys peak in their early to mid 30s, and maybe that's you, buddy.
Yeah, I've definitely I've heard the old rumor that 30s is your sweet spot for golf. Would have been nice to have a little bit of a sweet spot in my 20s. but I mean, if I get real hot in my 30s, you know, I'll take it. I'm ready to play this game for a little while. Not a great week to be, you know, old, considering this week was soft and you're just like sloshing through the water. I definitely felt older. My legs were tired. I was tired. but yeah, you know, experience is key. And I'm officially experienced, I think, as a 30-year-old.
All right, so let's go through the week and especially the weekend, because I mean I'm assuming you've probably done something similar like this before, but not since we've done the podcast. You had a run of 11 birdies in 13 holes to finish your third round. You made five in a row on the front nine of El Chameleon, and then you came back out in that final round and were red hot to start. As good a run as you can remember having. I mean, I can't think of something where you were that hot.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever done that. I told Joe, I'm not sure I've ever been 10 through 11 and then 11 through 13. That was bananas. Yesterday, Saturday, when we were finishing up, Joe, when we walked off our last hole, number nine, he said, can we keep playing? And I said, let's go do our, you know, as me, you, Joe, and Skov came up with our E9 alternate shot.
I said, let's go play
a little alternate shot. I'll putt for everybody. You guys hit as a little joke. And then coming out this morning, I parred one, which was incredibly disappointing considering I was coming off of five in a row. And then I got incredibly hot. I played the not exact opposite, but when I finished Saturday, I made a lot of putts. I made like three 15 to 20 footers. I made one, you know, 5-footer. But for the most part, I was making, you know, 12 to 20 footers. And then this morning I hit it to like 5 inches on two, hit it to like 3 feet on three, hit it to like 5 feet on four, 5 feet on five, 6 feet on six. And I was just like, geez, Louise, like I cannot miss at the moment with the irons. Or yesterday, the day before, I couldn't miss with the putter. I made a horrible par on seven, all things considered, and then backed it up with a birdie on eight. So it just felt like it was cruising, you know, it was smooth sailing. It was fun to play like that. I feel like, can't remember what hole it was on, but I had a birdie putt. I think it was six. I had this birdie putt, and it's odd. I think anybody who's played golf, I don't know what, you know, I don't really care what your hot, like your heater is. You know, for me, obviously it was this. For some people who play average golf, you know, maybe it's shout out to Club Pro Guy, but making like seven pars in a row, whatever your heater is. Again, the beauty of golf, we all have the same feeling I had. You start to think, hey, I'm on a bit of a heater. And I was reading the putt on six, and it was downhill. It was a kind of a tricky putt for 6 feet. And, you know, as I've just been making all of these birdies and all these putts, you kind of are fighting the feeling or the thought of like, this has to stop at some point. Like this
right.
kind of has to stop. So I was over this putt and I had to wait a little bit, and I'm reading the putt, and I could feel my brain kind of like going in that direction of, you know, if you miss, it's okay. You know, like you're playing great, whatever. Right. And I felt it. And I just remember, I was like cussing myself out in my head. I'm like, listen, you've been waiting for 6 months to play like this. Like, can we please just take advantage of it? Cause I know, you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know, you obviously know Shane is one of my close buddies, but I know some people on the podcast know this too, but to all my friends, I guess, the inner circle get it. Like, I've been working so freaking hard for, I mean, I would say this entire last 7 months, but especially these last 3-4 months, and it's been a grind, and I've been doing everything I possibly can to get better, and it just hasn't really clicked in the tournament. And after Thursday, that's what I felt. I was very down in the dumps. I just felt like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, I feel like I'm doing all the things I need to do. And I understand that even if I'm getting better, you know, that's all that I care about, but it would be nice to see a result before, you know, go on break. So I just remember I was standing on the fourth green, my 13th hole on Saturday. And I looked at the board and I was in 51st place. And I was just like, not exactly disgusted, because I knew I was actually playing pretty well. It just wasn't all clicking. I obviously had a bad Thursday, but looked at it, I was 51st. And I was like, this is just, what a waste of a week. And I thought to myself, all right, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 are not very hard. You're going to birdie 4 of them. We're going to go in 4 under in the last 5. And, you know, we'll at least be in a position where on Sunday you play great and you could put yourself in a good spot. And I ended up birdieing the last 5 and then kept it going today. So it was fun. You know, I had a coaching change this year. I hired Mark Blackburn a couple weeks ago, went to his place in Alabama last week, worked really hard there, and saw a lot of results on the course this week. So that's what you're looking for. 12th wasn't exactly what the main goal for the week, but in general, it was nice. Like I said, it's nice to feel like you're being rewarded for a lot of hard work, not just a week's worth, you know, like over time. And I've been the miscut king by 1, and someone finally let me into the weekend, and you know, got it going. So maybe a little momentum for next season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you played so well early in the year, and you were, you know, you had a great event after the restart. But as you said, you were missing cuts by 1. How important is this for you? And you know, you get the questions a lot. How important is this for you in terms of your confidence? I mean, confidence, you know, the next event you play is what, a month away or 5 weeks away? I mean, it's not next week. You just kind of got a hard stop right now for schedule. But just to your point, to put in the hard work, and you talked a lot on this podcast about how close you are. And then if you go out there and miss a cut by 1, I feel like if you're listening to that, you might not totally understand, you know, what you're talking about, Max. But I mean, I had a few people on Twitter today say, this is what he's been mentioning. You know, he's close. It's close to clicking. And then you get a run like you had on the weekend, you shoot 65-65. I call it the Koepka. That was what Koepka did to win, I think, his first PGA Tour event at the Waste Management back in the day before he was big famous Major Koepka. But, you know, you get this to at least look back on from the end of your season. It has to feel so great for you to have an event like this, especially after starting like you did on Thursday.
Yeah, totally. I think what's difficult is, given like this podcast that I love doing, is and every week I try to be as honest as I can. And I feel like for the last 5 or so weeks, I've been saying I'm very close. And right. I mean that, you know, there were weeks in between or prior to that where I did not feel very close. I obviously played well in Minnesota and got 3rd. But even going into that week and then after that week, I didn't feel like my game was tight. It just was. I mean, I do think that I'm a pretty good golfer. So when I get it clicking, like I can play well. Obviously did that week, but in the last 5 weeks or so, especially since Bermuda or the week prior to Bermuda, my games just felt really good. I've been going home and playing some awesome golf, shooting some really, really low numbers, really like, you know, almost like kind of brain dead type golf, just swinging it, hitting it, knowing I'm going to make some putts. I haven't been putting it very well, I guess, has been the main issue. Bermuda, I did actually putt it well, but then Houston, I putt it bad and still played okay. And then Augusta, I didn't putt it great. I also, you know, had a few too many high numbers, but like that was the ultimate, like I'm close week. I had 3 doubles, missed a cut by 1 and felt like nothing went my way. So it's hard to come on this podcast every week and say I'm close and expect people to believe me. Obviously that's not why I'm saying it, but like that's how I
you believe it.
I do believe it, and I guess it's not my job to make other people believe it,
but right.
It would be nice to show it here and there, because like I said, I've been putting in good work with Mark Blackburn. We've been working on, especially, you know, like if you just look at specific areas, we've been working on my wedge play a lot, and I've been working on it a ton at home. So when I come out to a course like this, if you drive the ball well, you're going to have a lot of wedges, especially on the front nine. And I thought that, you know, obviously the end of Saturday and then into today, playing the same nine two times in a row, I had the, you know, bunch of wedges. And especially this morning, you know, I come out and I, like I said earlier, I mean, I stoned it on like, I think I had today, I had 8 or 9 putts inside of 10 feet for birdie, which is pretty outrageous. I think 7 of my first 8 holes, I had putts inside of 10 feet for birdie, which is awesome. And that's the stuff I've been really working on. So that's the stuff I guess I talk about when I'm close. You know, the specific areas I'm working on are getting there and I feel good about them. I think that the putter has kind of not shown that as much. Like I played pretty well Thursday. I did not putt it well, and I got kind of a shitty draw. I'm not complaining because I'm sure I've been on the better side of it more often than not, but we saw that our wave played 1.5 strokes harder, and it's just because Thursday was quite windy. And then in the afternoon, I just don't think it was as windy. I'm not really sure. But like I hit it really well that Thursday morning. I just putt it bad and it was windy, so I wasn't very close to the hole. So I tried not to get too down, but you know, I tried, you know, try to just play my ass off Friday to make the cut. And so that's the stuff, you know, when you're close, it feels like kind of the world's against you a little bit, the golf world's against you a little bit. So to overcome that on Friday, make the cut, give myself a chance to, I guess, not really show, you know, in the rankings or anything, or show to anybody other than me, but just to get, not reps in as practice, but reps in is like, watch this. Like, I know this is clicking. Like, it feels great. Like, everything feels good. So to finally get that chance, not only to do it, but then to follow it up with, you know, what I did the last couple of days was nice. Because I don't know. I mean, when you work, when you make little changes, and when I've been working, like I said, working with Mark on little stuff and working with Joe on stuff and working on my body, like you want to see that what you're doing is paying dividends somewhere. And for a while, it just hasn't felt like that, even though I know that I'm on the right track. So I got in this groove on the weekend where this is how I've been playing at home at Silverleaf or Wisbrocker with UF Phoenix. So that's what's nice, you know, because like we played together a week ago and I didn't score very low, but I drove the hell out of it. Like,
yeah,
I couldn't. I drove it so well. So it's like when I showed up Thursday, I wasn't driving it quite as well. It didn't feel way off, but wasn't as well. And I was like been driving it like that kind of the whole time I've been home. And even like, you know, at Augusta, I drove it quite well. So it's like, all right, like, why is this not happening? But I was semi-patient, drove it great on Friday, and then just kind of like played great since then. And that's the stuff. Like you said, I don't think it's confidence, because like to your point, confidence goes in waves. If you took me at, you know, at any point today and yesterday, I would have played anybody in the world for whatever they wanted. Like your confidence is as high as it can get. And then at times, even in that stretch, like maybe on the 14th hole, maybe my confidence isn't quite as high. So like confidence is tough. I didn't need this for my confidence. I needed this more so for peace of mind, I think.
To go into this break. You're working on the right stuff. And exactly. It's like, It's about it, to your point. I mean, results eventually come, but if they're not coming, then the frustration grows, you know? And it's like, I swear I'm hitting it good. You know, it's like you're saying, you don't need to convince yourself, and it's not your job to convince the world being a very small percentage of the world that listens to this podcast. Thank you, by the way, for listening to the podcast. But you know, I mean, it is so nice to look at the board and go, okay, there you go. T12, 65s, you know, it's like, you know, 30 on the front. I mean, it is, again, this sport, this game, I always, when I was, you know, a more confident young 20-year-old ages ago, and I was considering trying to play golf for a living, I always went back to one thing. Golf really is numbers. I mean, over everything else that we dive deep into, smash factor and how you're hitting the ball and ball speed and club speed and everything that you think about day to day and pro golfers think about day to day, it's a numbers game. And this week you shot good numbers, especially on the weekend.
this is kind of what I was thinking about today. Golf is super complicated as a sport, and even in your own like personal golf game, it's complicated. I don't care what you're working on in your swing. I'm sure it's complicated. Even if you simplify it down, it is a complicated thought. So do you ever think this, like, as complicated as it is, you almost like go through this wall where you go, everyone has figured it out, quote unquote, right? Like, oh, Max, I figured it out. You'll say, I'll say that to you, Shane, I figured out putting. And you're like, yeah, of course. Then like, you know, an hour later, a day later, you're like, I lost it.
I love that you said an hour later.
Yeah, it could be an hour later. I've seen it before. So don't you feel like it goes through that wave of like, it has to be complicated for a minute. Or I mean, by a minute, I mean like however long that may take. But then at some point, once you get into like a competitive round, whether that be a money game you're playing or, you know, obviously your four ball qualifier, all of a sudden it just becomes like incredibly simple. Like, do you feel that? Like, do you get that way where it's like all of a sudden you're like, wow, this is so simple, even though you know that it's complicated?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I played that way at the Arizona Open this summer. You know, I played an Arizona Open. I bogeyed the last hole, but I was bogey free. I knew kind of where I needed to shoot. You know, I knew the number, and I just felt like I knew I was going to put a shot here, and I could hit my iron under the hole. And then to your point about the four ball qualifier, that we'll get into it in a little bit. You know, in that round, I never one time felt comfortable the entire round of golf for 4.5 hours.
More,
and
I guess that's more often, more that, correct. That's more frequent than the other way.
Yeah, and I go through those waves where some days it does feel, it almost feels too simple, you know, where you have a ledge. What I find so crazy is that you can go from one hole and two holes later have the exact same club and the exact same number and everything feel different. Those are the things that I can't explain to my wife, you know, who is not a golfer.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I can't hammer that home. Like, like, man, oh, I really wish I wouldn't have bogeyed the last hole.
And you're
like, yeah, it's a 7-iron. You know, it's a 7-iron from, you know, 185. And I hit it 40 yards right of the green. And I just hit it to 2 feet. So absolutely. I mean, it is so crazy how, and I'm sure other sports feel this way. I don't know, man.
This is not a reactionary sport. I've said this, for the last probably 10 years or so, as I've like gotten into the professional golf game where I'm making putts or having putts for tons of money. Like, I know it's not like it's mine yet, but you have putts on holes for $50,000-$100,000.
Of course.
But you're sitting there thinking about it for 7 minutes. Whereas like, I mean, everybody knows one of my favorite athletes ever, most influential to me, Kobe Bryant, known as a clutch basketball player. I will not argue that he is not a clutch basketball player. That's not my point. Michael Jordan, probably the clutchest of all time, right? Like, it's the guys you just want. Michael Jordan, even today, I'm sure, like if you had an 8-foot putt for birdie, like you want Michael putting it, you know? But it's hard for me to think that there's a clutch gene stronger than a golf clutch gene, because in basketball, I could be nervous. And I guess I'm maybe speaking like out of the side of my mouth here. I don't really know, but I could be nervous. But once, you know, whistle blows, time to go, it's like, well, catch, shoot, whatever. Like, it's hard to, if you have a free throw, maybe kickers in the NFL, maybe a little more, but it's like hard to get tight. Whereas in golf,
you're iced on everything. Shot. I mean, a coach is calling a timeout on every single shot you hit because you've got a minute and a half to walk to it.
It's like in golf today, like I hit it so well those first 6, 7, or 8 holes, I guess. I was like consistently the last one to putt, which means I'm waiting literally the longest to hit my putt. I'm like self-icing myself, like you said, the entire day. It's such an odd game mentally. I think I'm getting better.
Self-icing
part of like,
good.
Yeah, shutting it down. But like, even today, like on the range this morning, I had like a really good, this is going to sound stupid, but a really good wedge warm up. Like when I was hitting my little wedges, like they were just painting the flag and they were flighted the same window every time. And I was like, ooh, my wedges feel good. And I got onto like, you know, this third hole after I made birdie on 2, I got on the third hole and I had this little wedge shot. And it's like almost like in my head, I could notice myself trying to complicate it. And like, think of like the little positions here and there that I've been working on hitting my wedges lower. So little positions, I had to like, I nearly audibly told myself to shut the fuck up because I was like 20 minutes ago, you're talking about how easy this is and how autopilot right. it feels. And as guests, as golfers, we just automatically try to make things more complicated. Like you said before, like you could hit the same 8 iron, you know, on 13 and then have it again on 14. And all of a sudden think on 14, like, well, what could I have done different? It's like, dude, like just do that again, whatever it is, do it again.
Just make that swing. That swing worked. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, just as a golfer that at times has struggled to find fairways with a driver, is this golf course stressful on every tee?
It's high key stress all day.
Like, I mean, it's a resort golf course, Max. Yeah, what is a 15 yeah. handicap shooting there?
A trillion and a half. I never got to play here in the spring because it was before I think I turned pro, but I guess it used to be firm and fast, which would be fun to play. But given how soft it is, the only way like the scores wouldn't be astronomically low is wind. And then that the course demands like a lot of precision. What's funny is when I played here in 2014, my rookie year on tour.
And back I in your 20s.
Yeah. Way back then. And then I played here in 2017, which for me was the worst year of golf I've ever had. And what's funny is like I played okay the first time I was here. I think I got 30th. And then the last time I was here, 2017, I was going through my little, you know, swing issues. And I just remember this place being the most narrow golf course on the planet. So when I show back up at a lot of courses from those years, I kind of always joke with Joe about how much wider open they look than I remember them.
this golf course looks easy.
It looks easy. But to that point, it was way wider tree to tree, hazard to hazard. But the fairways here are super narrow. Like, but I guess the main goal on this golf course is keeping it between the hazards, which is narrow, but it is not crazy. But like, you know, like you mentioned, it's stress. Like you see the red stakes, you see the bushes, and it's on any hole in the world. I mean, even you look at the 15th hole is a par three. It's like their signature hole where the wedding was going on and whatnot. And
forgot but
like
about you look that. At it's been that, a while.
And it's like, it's not a very hard hole, but you block it 8 yards right with an 8 iron and you're on the beach. Not in the wedding. You're just intruding upon the wedding.
You might be in the wedding.
So you're constantly stressed out. 17, 18, you know, today, Camilo Villegas, you know, is cruising pretty well. I think it was probably 2 or 3 under for the day. And on 18, which is, again, it's a good golf hole. It's pretty difficult. I wouldn't call it crazy narrow tree to tree. The fairway is super narrow. But you can't miss it left because, you know, you get over near the range and right is trees and he hit it right and, you know, makes a double. The ball's like, you know, lodged in the jungle and it's just, that's on every shot. So it's a very interesting golf course. I would say five is a very short, easy par five, but the tee shot is insanely tight and visually intimidating. So that's the golf course. You keep the ball in play, I feel like you would score really well. I think, you know, I would wonder the numbers, but I didn't hit any balls. Hit one ball into the trees this week, but never had to, you know, drop or anything. I feel like that's a big part of the week. But a lot of it is mental. Like you have to get over. I would bet that the guys this year who have struggled off the tee came here, and I bet you it looked a lot more narrow than guys who have not struggled off the tee. So yeah. I guess that's my point. And it's been a benefit for me, like I said, from 2017 is coming to these places, every place looks a lot wider than I remember. So I come to these places, I'm like, this is an easy tee shot.
Yeah. So we're going to do a big junior golf podcast next week where we answer a lot of junior golfer questions, but Max just giving away a little secret. If you want to make courses look easier, then go through a really bad year and then you come back and it's great. Your wife posted on Instagram that she almost stepped on an iguana. Made me ask you, I have to ask you this question every time you go to this event or anybody goes to this event, but what was your species of animal count for the week? How many different species do you think you saw?
Man, I didn't see the monkeys.
Are you saying you think you saw 10 different animals?
10. I mean,
because this event loves talking.
They love the animals.
As it should.
As it should. I don't know if I saw 10. I probably saw at least 5 though. I mean, I had to look at Lacey asked me if there was a spider on her back at one point. There's obviously a lot of iguanas.
Was there?
No, there wasn't, but it must have been for a second. There's the Cody, I think they're called, those little like panda fox monkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
We called them poxies, me and Gino Benali. I'm going to say at least five, though, because we saw falcon. There's a lot of animals out here, man. This is, I mean, this place is really cool. This is a place you kind of want to come to for vacation. Like you mentioned earlier, you don't want to play the golf course if you're just trying to have a good time.
I go on vacations, you know, and there's a golf course there and you play it because it's there. And I just, as I'm watching, you know, the eighth best player in the world and the 14th best player in the world dropping on half the holes, I'm like, I don't know if I want to do it. You know, I think I might just get in a cart and drive around.
This would be the worst. Like you go on vacation with Cindy and all your family and her family, and you grab, you know, your in-laws who decide they like golf, and you buy a box of balls, and then you have to buy another one after six. And you're like, this is supposed to be just a fun resort day. And this is no longer enjoyable. I got to hit 3 irons off the tees.
You're 8 over through 7. Just like, man, can I break 80 today? I just feel like I'm on the number right now. I need to make some birdies.
And your father-in-law was like, wait, you said you've been playing well. And you're like, yeah, I hate golf.
Oh, So I had a round like that. I always say last year. Have you been doing this? I say last year for 2018 because 2020 doesn't really count.
I thought you were going to say last year for like pre-COVID quarantine, because that's how I've been doing it.
Every time I say last year, it was 2 years ago, but this year doesn't really count because
nothing counts.
So 2 years ago, we did our baby moon in Hawaii. And I played golf a couple days at the course there at the Four Seasons. Unbelievable place. It was awesome. Great week. All that stuff. I'm eating lunch next to a fella who is a member across the street at a golf course called Nenea.
Top
30 course in the country. And David McClay Kidd. And, you know, it's a Schwab deal. They built on the mountain in Elise. It's crazy. But it was beautiful. Guys, like, invites me to play golf at Nenea the next day, right? So it's like, auto, yes. Don't care what we're doing. As long as we're not having the baby, I'm playing golf. And the first 6 or 7 holes, Max, I am hitting it everywhere. And it's the high, wispy grass. Like, it's kind of the windy, wispy grasses that you are never going to find a golf ball in. And I mean, I'm like 7 over through 7. And all I can think is, this guy must think I'm so shitty at golf. You know, I mean, I'm having one of those days where it's like, everyone's, I cannot keep it on the planet. And, it was respectable on the back nine, but those days are never fun when you're playing with a new person and it's going south.
But that also goes to like, as we've talked about, I think No Laying Up talks about a lot on their podcast, just it's impossible to rate a golf course if you played bad. Like,
correct.
You have to be so impartial to somehow come up and be like, oh, that was a great day. Like, if you shot 80 like that. No, like, I hate this place. I don't care how good it is. Like, it still sucks.
Yeah. Like, you have to be so much more mature and confident in yourself to enjoy the day when you shoot. I'm like, no. F this. I hate this place. Get me off the golf course. I got a friend of mine that had a moment like this at Augusta National where they were playing Augusta National, you know, roll the red carpet out. You get to play Augusta. Holy crap. And this guy's a really good player, single digit, like 2, 3, 4 handicap, said he was like on 90 watch and wanted to walk off. And it's like, hey, man, you're playing Augusta. Like, you just got to, you've got to enjoy your day, somehow enjoy your walk, because if you don't, everybody you know in your life's going to hate you.
Oh, yeah. You get kicked right in the teeth if you're that guy. How was Augusta? I hated it.
I played terrible. It was overrated.
Yeah, you're out. You're dead to me.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
I just want to ask you one more question on the week, because we've danced around this, and I do have a singular question about especially your weekend, but I mean, I'd count Friday's round as well. What do you feel like when you're searching? Because I texted you this last night, and you said kind of, you didn't really give me an exact answer. What do you feel like worked well for you this week? It could be multiple things that maybe haven't been working or haven't been as close to as sharp as they were this week, that you feel like you're proud of, that you're excited about, that you're going to build on?
Yeah, I guess there's a couple. The wedges, like I mentioned, were really dialed. Like,
just
more
tighter?
Specific, tighter. I've always struggled, not always, but I've recently struggled with like a last 2, 3 years, we've been trying to get like this left miss out of the wedges, which you never want to miss a wedge, you know, offline, obviously, but it's going to happen. But when you're missing them left, it means they're going really long. You know, it's kind of like what I guess Rory kind of deals with. He has so many of them, but like that's where he's kind of, if he were to ever tighten that up, like that's when you see him win by, you know, 10 because, but it's a tough miss because it's what makes you probably hit your longer clubs well, but isn't very functional with the short club. So getting to go up to wedge shots, a lot of them this week, I think I only missed one or two left and you have a lot of them. So being able to dial those in, I've been really working on bringing the flight down. So starting to see them come out of my window and then not have to think so much about the dispersion left and right was fun because I've been working a lot on the distances at home. But like I said, if you pull it, it's going to go further. And if you push it, it's going to go shorter. So you want to start them online. So seeing that was nice. To continue to drive it like I have been at home a little more so. Like I didn't drive it amazing this week, but I also, like I said, I never hit one in the hazard, which is fun because that means my misses are smaller, even if I don't feel great about it. My irons have been good. They've been some weeks great, some weeks average. The putter finally got hot. I guess that's more so what I was looking for, but that's not something I expect to be every week of my life, but closer this week. But I think the most proud I was, you know, was I had a plan this week. I talked to my buddy, Josh Corrales from home, one of my like closest buddies since we were kids. And he plays professional baseball. He's a pitcher and typically a closer. And we were playing video games like a week and a half ago. And we were talking about it. And I just had mentioned, like, I was really fed up with my mental approach to golf, not so much my attitude really, but more like I struggle with being a little bit like lack of confidence, insecure, whatever, in golf. And I told him I was really sick of it, man. Like I want to just go out and just, you know, make swings where I would just trust my mechanics. And if it didn't go well, then I would go and work on them later. You know, like we talk about on this all the time.
Like just trust what you're doing. It.
Yeah. Go down in flames if you're going to go down, but stop hitting golf shots that you've never worked on in your life by like guiding it out there. And so he was like, yo, I got some advice for you. Just kind of unsolicited. We talk all the time, but it just kind of unsolicited in a good way. And he's like, I was thinking about this. He goes, I just want you to know, like, he's had a long career. He's a year older than me. And was on the Mariners for a little bit. And then he's been in Japan and in Mexico here, right, in Cancun. And been all over. So he's had a kind of a run. And he's like, dude, in my last, like, year or so, he's like, I just don't care anymore. He's like, I just throw the ball. He's like, beat me. You know, if I'm going to throw my fastball, he throws it very hard. He throws like 98 miles an hour. But he's like, beat me, you know, like hit this. And he's like, whatever happens, happens. And I just don't care anymore. And I was like, man, like, that's what I want. Like out of myself. It's like,
and like so, go on the first tee and throw your fastball, you know, and screw just like, it. Let's like, live and die by it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you hit one out, okay. If you hit 13 or if you play 18 holes, and you hit one out, but you hit 17 holes worth of good shots, you're going to play well. Like you can make bogeys. Like I shot 6 under today with a bogey on one of the easier holes, quote unquote. Like you can, like it's all good, but like let's not make these guys swing. So I told Joe after the round, my most proud moment of the week was 17 today. Tee shot doesn't fit my eye. I've been playing a cut. It's a tree on the left, like super tight. It's not a very hard hole if you hit the fairway at all. Like it's a sandwich, but it's just a visually intimidating tee shot for anyone who's been here. Like I said, on the card, it's nothing hole. But today I had to hit 3 wood because we didn't have any helping wind. And it just, like I said, it's just, I'm uneasy. And I remember walking in the shot thinking, I wasn't nervous, but I was like a little bit apprehensive, I guess. And I just remember being like, what was your goal this week? It was to be Josh and just not care. You know, throw your fastball, throw whatever your go-to shot is, and let's have some faith in it. And if it screws up, then we call Mark and we go work on it.
And work on it.
I want to go down with confidence. And I missed the fairway left, but I told Joe how proud I was of that swing because it was the mental stuff that I need to, it's a mental approach I need to have if I want to be Justin Thomas, in my opinion.
Like, right. Yep.
I believe that my physical stuff needs to get a little better, but I do feel like I'm on that. I know where I'm going. I got that. And not saying that I am Justin Thomas, but like my point is that if I want to be there, that my brain has to let me hit great shots. Because if my brain doesn't let me hit great shots, I'm just going to hit average golf shots forever. So that's okay if you want to be average. But obviously, if you're out here in this world, you don't want to. So that's the stuff have seen, to your question, that was the one I was most proud of. I saw physical things get better for sure. But you can't practice what the mental part at home, really, because you just don't feel that anxiety or that amped upness. So I've been seeing these things with my wedges and my driver and my irons and all this stuff. I've been seeing it at home. Like I said, when I played with you, like, I was so stoked with how I drove it, because, like, I mean, it just felt like it was easy. And that's how it's been feeling all the time. But I played your golf course, which is not, you know, my, you know, it's not my comfort zone. You know, I play a different one. And so, like, that was cool to see. Physically, I'm getting better, but I can't practice how I felt this week and to do it and, you know, think about the mental aspect of it, what Josh kind of told me. Like, that was cool to see that. Like, that's the stuff that takes you from here to way up, you know, like guys like Justin, guys like Victor Hovland, guys like Tony Finau, guys like all the best in the world, Rory, Dustin, Brooks, all the guys, like, they have such a good ability to not care.
Throw their fastball.
Yeah. Throw your fastball, whatever that is, you know? And it's like, yeah, I mean, gosh, it being a pitcher is so cool when you're at the top level. Like, Kershaw will throw that curveball and you might know it's coming, but it's like, he's daring you to hit it. And it's like, if you hit it, you're better than me. And at some point I have to look at the 17th hole on a golf course and be like, I'm beating you right now with my best stuff. And if I don't, I'm going to go back and work on my stuff, but I'll be ready at some point. So, like, that's the fun stuff for me in tournaments when I do that. And I felt like I went through 72 holes of not giving, not caring where it went and trusting my fastball, which was fun because I think that I've been working on my fastball and it's getting better. Like, I feel like my misses are really getting smaller. I feel like my little stuff's getting good. So it's awesome. Nice. I mean, you just got to see it here and there. Shane, I got to ask, man.
But you said you don't get nervous. You say you can't replicate nerves on tour when you play regular at home golf. I got to say, though, you exercised your demons at Phoenix the other day.
I played
the ninth hole well. I know you were nervous. I know you were all in your head on nine. You said, I know I'm going to have a business call.
I've hit dry. Yeah, I told you I was going to have to take a break at nine. I had to call somebody, anyone who picked up. No one picked up. Everyone was busy. So I had to
make par. It's a miracle. We did it. But I didn't want to interrupt you. You're going to ask.
No, I'm just curious, man. Like, so this four ball thing, for those who don't know, the USGA four ball will be played at Chambers Bay next year. But all the qualifying has been going on right now. My caddy, Joe Greiner, my buddy, Johnny, they qualified as a team. It's best ball, right? 18 hole qualifier, the worst. Yeah. Two teams typically make it from each. So it's a crapshoot. It's a Monday qualifier.
It's a it's total grind mode. And let me ask you this, because you've played in qualifiers, plenty of qualifiers before, but I'm having a real hard time mentally with it. We didn't qualify. Okay.
Yeah. So, 40 teams. So you guys play, you and Ashton, our buddy Ashton, played Rams Hill, the side of your 494 yard drive.
Got a story on that, but by the way. I'll tell you a little bit.
On Thursday. And again, like I said, it's 18 holes. Only two teams make it. There really are qualifiers for everybody out there. Like, I look at a lot of the scores because I have a lot of buddies who do it. And it's crazy what it takes to get in. And the teams who get left out, you would imagine, would obviously be a team that makes it. So I've been really keen. I was excited for you guys. You guys played all right. It's just, they're tough, man. Like I said, it's a Monday qualifier. You have to be hot on the exact right day. So how'd it feel? How was the course? You guys ham and egg the living hell out of it from the scorecard.
I would even say we didn't ham and egg it well because we made four bogeys. If we don't make four bogeys, I think we get in or we're
okay.
On the number.
Yeah, so, six would have been the number, yeah.
Yeah, so we shot two. It was Rams Hill, which is in Borrego Springs, California, which is, you know, you mentioned side of my 490 yard drive, and it's a place I've been a couple times.
It's
and
a place
I love
everyone's been. Everyone's
yeah,
been to Borrego.
The golf course, is fantastic. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but we were really excited about it. We went out there a couple days early and played a couple practice rounds. But you know, it's my mentality when I play golf, Max, is I don't want to make bogeys. Okay. So my mentality is if you can avoid the bad stuff, you had a good day. And the mentality for this is just the complete opposite. And I'm having a hard time clicking into that. I'm having a hard time clicking from,
you know, go out and play good, solid golf, you know, and you're going to inevitably make your birdies on a par five if you hit it 490 off the tee or something like that. But, you know, it's not like forcing birdies. It's just kind of allowing myself to play. And then when those things happen, I just feel like personally, my mentality changes and I feel really uncomfortable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. So like the saying is, I think Tiger said it back in the day, but my buddy Johnny, who Joe's partner, used to always say it when he caddied for Andrew Putnam, aggressive swings to conservative targets. So you pick your target and make a very aggressive swing. Now, sometimes that might be the pin. Sometimes it might be 30 feet left. Even today, I remember thinking it to myself because after I hit it, but I screwed up at 13, par five, left rough. It's all like everything's good. Like it fits my ball flight. It fits everything. And I hit a very okay four iron to 50 feet. But I remember walking up to the ball and I said, you did not let yourself be great there. Because at no point was I no point did I trust what I was doing to let it go and just hit the ball up there. I guided it and it worked out. I made a four, but at no point did I let myself be great. So, but that, I think that's the tough part to your kind of, I guess not question, but to your point is golf is played in like a stoplight, green light, red light, yellow light. And everyone knows their green lights. It's, you know, let's just say a 90-yard wedge shot. No one's ever thought about playing too far away from that pin.
Right.
Really wide par five, you send it, whatever. Red light, I think a lot of people know that one. And there's a little bit of a fine line there where obviously, let's just say you're playing 7 or 18 at Sawgrass. The pin's all the way on the left. No one in their right mind is going straight at that pin. So you're going to pick something very, very conservative. Everyone knows that. But there is a point where once you aim it 30 feet right, you've already aimed it so far right, you don't need to then also make sure you hit it right, right? Like,
don't aim right and push it right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, play it to where you just aimed it. And then it comes the yellow light, which is the much more difficult, obviously. It's when you need to be a little bit conservative with your aim and your game plan, but not with your golf swing. I think that's what you're saying, it makes you uncomfortable, is especially in tournament, you don't get to play a lot of tournaments. I think that's the beauty of this four ball, is people don't get to play a ton of golf tournaments, but you get to look at that shot and all of a sudden it has consequence. And it's like, all right, Shane, am I going to be the Shane who aims it 3 feet left of the pin and then makes a very aggressive swing to that? Or am I going to be the guy who aims it 3 feet left of the pin, tells myself, don't hit it right, and then pushes it to 25 feet?
Right. And by the way, nice. Hey, beauty. By the way, nice lefty vernacular there.
Dude, most people don't get that right. Lefty. I feel like I'm like half.
I know, but that was quick. That was quick. I'm pretty impressed. My dad still parks on the incorrect side of the golf ball, and I mean, I've only been around, you know, his entire life. So, yeah, that's interesting. I like kind of the mentality there. I didn't play great on Thursday. Ashton hit a four iron on two. You know, one of our big things in this, and you have to do it obviously, is get off to a really hot start. Ashton hit four iron on two to like 6 feet par five for eagle. And
eagle, yeah.
So I was pretty fired up. Yeah, he had an eagle putt. Didn't go in, made birdie. But it was just one of those days, dude. Just back and forth. We just couldn't get anything going. And then you start pressing, you know, then you start trying to almost imagine making a birdie, you know, like you're almost trying, like it's in your, you're like, I've got to figure out a way to make a birdie. I've got to make a birdie. I have to make a birdie. I've got to somehow drive a green or do something, you know, and it just wasn't coming. But you mentioned the 490-yard drive. So we made bogey on fives as par three, and we both made bogey. And so we're back to even for the day because, you know, Ashton made that birdie on two. And the sixth hole is probably the easiest hole on the golf course. It's a very short par five. But there's a whole bunch of bunkers, you know, and you can drive it in any of the bunkers. And if you do, you're in trouble. I hit one and pulled it, Max, and it kind of goes right. And I absolutely everything I got in it, you know, and I pulled it probably 10, 15 yards right of my line. And right when I hit it, I knew it was going to be good because I just knew that the number to carry that the way I hit it, I knew it was going to be good. And, you know, Ashton's asking it for to go, and I kind of knew it was going to be all right. So we see it land, and it was really wet. You know, it was just kind of soft because, you know, it's just that time of year. So we get up there and I am 150 yards in front of our playing competitors. Okay. The two guys, because they hit it a little left, a smarter drive. Now Ashton pumps one over the bunkers as well. And I'm like 70 or 80 probably in front of Ashton. And so I hit my second shot on the green. Now, Ashton hits a great shot, but it was soft and the ball's on the fringe. He makes the putt for three for eagle, okay? So I'm in there. I have about 8 feet for eagle. So he makes it. Now, I mean, I don't have to putt. I'm good, whatever.
Yeah.
So I pick it up and I'm walking off and my good friend Darren Bunch is out there. He has a deal with Rams Hill. He's always kind of out there taking pictures and just doing his work. And he said, hey, what he was, because he was laughing. He's like, hey, what'd you have in there? And I said, 116. And he goes, the hole's 517. Yeah, he goes, the hole's 517. So you're 2 for 2 on 400 yard drives. It was 401, Max.
Are you
401.
Kidding me?
Yeah, I had a nice solid sand wedge in. But anyway, it was that of all the things that happened during the day that were shitty, that was a fun thing that had happened.
You have to switch to the Ram driver. Remember the Ram driver? You have to. Yes. Rams Hill, Ram driver, like.
Is Ram still out there?
I don't know, man. We got to bring it back. I don't know if I've ever hit one 400. You've hit two on the same golf course.
So we had a great moment. And this is the moment where you truly need a caddy. The next hole. So let's fast forward to Wednesday, Max. Okay, this is the day before our tournament. We're playing a practice round and they're dotting where the holes are. And so the seventh is like one of the easier holes at Rams Hill. It's like 380, 390 downhill. You can drive it down there close to the green or on the green if you smoke one, because it's all downhill and it all rolls down towards the front of the green. The pin is brutal. It's a brutal pin. So Wednesday practice round, Ashton's a very smart guy, you know, played professional golf and, you know, went to Utah, and he does amazing work. I mean, he's everything you'd want in a partner, right? He's everything you'd want in somebody to talk through about stuff. We're sitting on the green at seven and we both go, all right, man, iron off the tee tomorrow. You want a full shot into this flag. Do not, under any circumstances, hit driver. Nobody hit driver. Are you good with that, Ashton? I'm good. Are you good with that, Shane? I'm good. It's an iron. It's a 4-iron on the hill. You'll have 100 yards in. Do not hit driver. And Ashton's last famous words are, he goes, you know, I mean, you can make 5 here if you do something stupid. So we're coming off eagle at 6, all fired up, couple under. He said, so the California rules and restrictions, they weren't turning in full, like, printable scorecards. It was all through the phone, you know, obviously because of COVID and touching things and all that stuff. So he said he looked on his phone and we were 2 under. We were 1 off the lead at the time. Now, we were early out, but we were 1 off the lead. I get on the tee, Max. What did I say? What do you think I said? Just take a wild guess what I said on 70.
I'm going to guess you said, hey, Pards, you cool with me hitting driver here?
Hey, we get on the tee and there's a little help and he's like, and I go, a driver, right? And he's like, yeah, just pound driver down there. I kind of whiff it little bit and it comes up about 50 yards short in a brutal spot. I make 5, Ashton makes 5. And we keep saying that was kind of the moment because we'd had our good hole. You know, we had our eagle. You've got to make crazy numbers in these things to get through. We had an eagle. Just play normal golf from here on in and we're probably going to be around 4, 5, 6 under, you know, and you make that bogey. And you could just feel it from the both of us walking off. Like, God damn it. I can't believe we did that.
To your point, though, like when you get in those team things, especially the one day qualifiers, you feel like you have to make birdie on every hole. So like trying to find a birdie, even though you can just like let them happen. Like just,
it's, you know, so 100 frustrating.
Yards, Shane, like you're going to hit it to 10 feet. You
right, guys a bad both wedge. Hit
it to 10 feet. You have 2 putts from 10 feet. Yeah, I mean. I don't know. It's the most mind-numbing part of like competitive golf to me is like, yeah, Joe and I'll be like, all right, like this hole, if we're not in the fairway, we always lay up. Yeah. And then we get in the rough and we're like, it's a pretty good lie.
Well, I've got to bring up something you said to me the other day when we were playing at Phoenix. I played well with you the other day.
Yeah, you played great. You shot
and I hit it left on 18. 18's a par 5. And I kind of block one left because there's OB right and I hit a left there a lot. It's just not a great driving roll for me.
It's not a good lefty hole, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even Steve Flesh texted me. I remember the first time he played there for the Schwab in a practice round. He's like, 18's a tough driving hole for us. I was like, yeah, it's not a great lefty hole. So I blocked this thing like 30, 40 yards left of where I'm trying to hit the ball, right? And I have this window and I'm like kind of trying to make the swing with the 3-wood. There's water right of the green. I've got to hit probably a 240, 250 yard 3-wood that cuts 50 yards to a green with water right. And I end up laying up and I was walking up with you. And I remember I was telling you, I was like, God, I almost went for it, dude. I was like, I had a little window. And you said something that I have been laughing about ever since. You said, isn't it amazing that we can miss a shot on a tee 40 yards off our line, get up to the ball and it be in a questionable lie and go, I've got a window. I can hit this shot. Like, you just had the easy shot that you screwed up. Just, this isn't the one time to do it.
Yeah. You got to pick your spots. I knew it literally. I think Joe said it best. He's like, you always seem to find a hole in the trees. He's like, just, you just hit it in the, like you said, you hit it off of a tee into the trees. Why are you all of a sudden so confident you can hit a 3-wood from the rough through a tree?
You go from hitting a terrible shot to now forcing yourself to hit the perfect shot.
It's literally like, we're good. What are we doing? What are we doing?
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
So anyway, it was a great week at Rams Hill. We've got to go out there. I know you and I have been talking about it. We're going to go out there and do a podcast from the place one time because I want to take you out. I'm going to try to drag Joe as well if we can make it work. But I found a couple of new places down there this trip. Some kind of like hangout, chill places. So I'm all in on it, and I'm hoping you're excited. I've got something I want to throw your way, Max.
Throw it out there like Aaron Rodgers.
It's been a couple of episodes since we recorded, but remember when I asked you on the last episode about irons with your putters or with your wedges or with your woods?
Oh, yeah.
So I got this message on our Instagram account. This is maybe the best message I've received since we started this podcast. So I just want to let you know that. This is from Mason Allberg. He said, Shane, I'm a collegiate golfer at Baker University, a small NAIA school in eastern Kansas. I was listening to the latest podcast, and we were talking about that, and he said, I have a teammate who kind of one-ups what we do, okay? He said, we're waiting on the first tee of our conference tournaments, and we noticed my teammate had his clubs all messed up in his bag and even had an empty slot. When we asked him why, he said he puts his clubs in a slot with a club that is hot. So if he hit a good shot, it might get better. Just prepare yourself. So he said, so if he hit a good shot with a 9-iron, he would put more clubs in that slot to warm them up. In addition to this, if he was hitting a club like his driver poorly that day, he would put clubs as far away from that club as possible. His theory was the hot club would warm up the others. And they would stay warm throughout the round. Anyway, he said it was really funny to hear that. He said there were points when the guy would have just half his bag would be empty and all the clubs would be in two slots. Anyway, that is excellent, excellent, insane golfer stuff that I love to hear.
That's the dumbest, smartest thing I've ever heard.
I might have to get this guy on the podcast. Mason, send us your friend. We need to know who this guy is. The hot slot is what we got to call it.
Oh,
you know
my
what?
God, that's good.
Don't sleep on it. There could be a bad company that comes out with this after listening to this podcast. This is the area for the warm
it's
clubs.
Phenomenal.
The ones that
you
are
need 14. You need the 14 slots just in case one of your clubs is acting
so
up.
Good. I've got a couple more things before we get to flights. One is we have a Masters hat giveaway that I still haven't done yet. Do you have any ideas of something we should do? I was thinking, so I'm trying to think of some funny comment and we could pick the funniest one, but I need
your
help,
Max.
Well, if
you want, we can do what you and I do or whatever.
It's right here, by the way.
We always, and it's a beautiful hat. We do the swing roast. I've done swing roast. You've roasted plenty of my swings, I'm sure. We could do a swing roast and funniest comment gets...
Good idea.
Gets a hat, or we could do something along those lines.
What do you think producer Tim's golf swing looks like?
Just judging by his pictures, I don't know Tim. I know him personally, but we haven't met yet, but I've seen his pictures. I imagine Tim hits a lot of shots thin because he's a skinny fella.
Tall, skinny. You know what we might do if Tim's down for it, we'll get Tim to video his swing. We'll post it on the Get It Grip Instagram
account.
That's a
great idea.
And the best comment. See, this is a collab idea.
This is
you and me
just
smashing our ever-failing brains together. So if Tim agrees, we will this week, probably on Tuesday, post his video on our Get a Grip Pod Instagram account. And you can roast it, and
you
we'll
need
pick
to
the best one.
Get a Grip on Instagram.
And us as
right?
well.
And us as well.
You have to be following all three. You have to be following at Shane Bacon, at max.homa, and at Get a Grip Pod. And if you do yep. all three of those on Instagram and you're really funny and Tim's swing sucks, this could be great. If Tim, what if Tim has like, what if Tim looks like Hogan?
You know what? Then you just talk about his putting. If it looks like Hogan, talk about his putting.
I'm really glad you finally leaned forward. I thought you had the deepest V ever on.
No, it's like this is a
shot like a Henley? Cuts.
It's kind of like a crew neck, but like wide. It wouldn't look so wide if I wasn't so big.
Yeah, it's the golf tan line.
It looks better when I stand up. Don't roast me, man.
No. I'm sorry. That's my bad. That's my bad. Give me a master's hat. That's all I know. So follow that. Two more kind of housekeeping things. I mentioned already, we're going to do a junior golfer Q&A podcast next week. Only questions from junior golfers. If you have a junior golfer in your life or know of one that would have a question for a PGA Tour winner, a PGA Tour player, and his moron co-host, then send them our way. The email is getagrippod@gmail.com. And just make sure you include the junior golfer's name and age. And if you want to, how long they've been playing. But we're just going to answer a whole bunch of junior questions. We already have a whole bunch in the hopper. So if you've got a good one, send it our way to that email address. And last thing, it is holiday season. I don't know if you knew that or not. GIF idea for holiday season, some Get a Grip merch. You can find that at imperialsports.com. We have shirts, we have hats, and that's what we've got. So get a golfer or even anybody. You know what? A golfer or anyone that's pro comfortable shirt, because the shirts are very comfortable.
Yeah, to be fair, most of my friends have been wearing it are not golfers. They just like the shirt.
Perfect. Yeah. There you go. Go to flights. What do we got? You got a flight?
Well, this wasn't didn't fit in my flight, but it fit in my notes app that says the segments portion. The Puerto Rico curse is broken. Shout out to Victor Hovland. For those who didn't know, no one has won the Puerto Rico tournament and won any other event that was not the Puerto Rico event. Michael Bradley won the Puerto Rico event twice, but today we had Emiliano Grillo, Tony Finau, and Victor Hovland had won there. They were all in the hunt. Victor Hovland got the job done, broke the curse. But I think the biggest news of all this, it's not Victor Hovland. It's Tony Finau. I think he wins a major with his next win. I think this was as important for Tony as it was for Victor. This is my hot take. I don't know if that's true, but it's on the skillet. I'm pressing a little so it's sizzling. This is it. Tony Finau wins a major. His next win is a major.
If Tony Finau wins the Masters in April, well, if he beats you in a playoff, and
good luck.
I'm real confident right now, Tony. And if you're Puerto Rico, is that your ad campaign for the year? Is your ad campaign like 100%. You could win the Masters if you come play here?
100%. Yeah. It's like Andres Gonzalez told me this story. Ryan Moore is a big tinkerer of like clubs and clothes and pretty much everything, I think. And Ryan Moore and him are really good friends. They went to college at UNLV together. And in college, Ryan qualified for the Masters. I think he won the Pub Links or the USAM, or he won everything.
To be fair, he won both.
Okay, so one of those two you signify with his birth to the Masters, whatever. Well, Andres caddied for him, and Andres said that the week of, he went to like a golf store, like a Roger Dunn or something, and got some Tiger Shark putters, like $20. And he went out to Augusta and ended up leading the field in putting for the week with this Tiger Shark putter. And apparently for the rest of the year, Tiger Shark's grips said the number one putter at the Masters.
Come on.
That's the story. I'm sticking to it because that's what Dre said.
I'm into it. The number one, their grip has it on there. That's really funny. I always love, it's always great when the companies have to dance around, you know, not using the name or
gotta
the
likeness,
and they just have to say, you gotta be really careful.
Oh, I have one more segment. I wanted to bring this up. I'll make this as fast as possible because we're already getting kind of long, but I've been Shane a little bit about, you know, this is a sports podcast. So this is not just golf. I'm not saying that my Cal Bears were going to make any national championship. So please throw that out the window. We did beat the Ducks, Oregon Ducks, no big deal. But we would have lost any. We would have not have made the playoffs. We wouldn't have made anything. My point is I hear a lot of the people, a lot of golfers from the South, the Alabamas, the whatever, Big 12 schools. They're all
Coastal Carolinas.
All these, yeah, they're all. Yeah, well, they ain't making either.
But they're not from these.
This is the entire point. Stop calling it a national championship. Stop calling it the playoffs, please. let's just have a season. If your conference wants to have a conference championship, just have it. But please stop telling me that, oh, they're close to the playoffs. What playoffs? My college has played four games. Four.
Well, this year.
You just
this
said
year.
9-0. Like, this is the dumbest thing to me. Like, can we just have a very enjoyable year? Like, and to the people who may say, like, asterisk for the Dodgers or the Lakers, they played a real season of sports.
Right, like, they played how it things. Goes.
Yes, but all the other teams played their games. Right yeah. now, we have a team where, like, Justin Fields scored a touchdown. I saw some tweet that said Justin Fields after 2 weeks finally scores a touchdown. It's like, this is what we're excited about, that, like, one of the best players in all of college football scored a touchdown because he had to take a week off. Like, he's played five games. Like, we also have another team, I think, somewhere in Texas has played 10 games. Like I said, Cal has played four games. Like, this isn't a season.
Yeah, ASU locally here, you know, my arch rival, if you will, but Arizona's football team is just
they're
awful.
Bad this year.
They're very bad. Awful. They were on national television last night, which actually bums me out when that's the case. I used to, like, yearn for it. Now I'm, like, sad when it happens.
No, please, but, take us off.
I think ASU's played, like, two games, I think.
Yeah, we were supposed to play. We ended up having to play UCLA, got drummed, ran out of the building.
Hey, Max, before we get to flights, I got to bring up something on the pod we hadn't talked about in a long time. I just looked it up. Popped in my head.
I'm scared.
The Aon Risk Reward Challenge is back, Max.
Is it actually?
December 3rd through the 6th. Guess what hole? In Mayakoba.
Dang it. What would be risk reward? 13?
13's the number. How'd you play it this week? Best two scores. What do we got?
Birdie.
There you go. Here it comes. 2020's the year, Aon.
We all know where I
focus my attention. Etch the trophy now. Write the check. Let's go. Let's go.
Write the check.
There's nobody in the world that's better at risk rewards than Max Homa. Never knows what hole it is. Never knows what hole it is, but he'll play it well. That's how good he is. That's how deep he thinks.
I'm so into the risk and reward that I don't even think about what hole it is. I'm so ready to just risk it all
on
all
every
the time. Every
this
hole,
first
hole
is like three. This first hole's 370 par four with a creek short. You're like, I got to figure out one way to play at risk reward. It might be the hole.
I'm gonna land it on the sprinkler head. It's gonna hop it onto the green. We're charting it out, Shane. Please tell me you have a dumb idea.
I have a good idea. I have a good idea. I think you'll agree with this.
So a dumb idea.
I think you're going to agree with my good idea, though. That's the problem here.
I think it's a dumb idea. All right.
I think we need to both retire and replace the term moving day.
I'm all in on that.
Yeah. Every day for professional golfers, a moving day. You can move any day, up and down, sideways, potentially. I don't know how that would work, but... I'm sure Matt can figure out a way.
You can do it.
I hate hearing the term moving day. I hate hearing it. I hate the fact that occasionally I will say moving day. I hate it coming out of my mouth. I hate thinking about it. I hate thinking about the term. We're done. We're done, done, done. Let's figure out a term to replace moving day. Come up with something that can, like, be punny with Saturday or... the third round or something, but moving day is stupid. It's up there with less than driver, in my opinion. Your
All
thoughts?
Right, I'm out. No more moving day. Saturday is just Saturday. Saturday's just another day.
Let's real quick. We're going to role play, Max. I'm going to be an interviewer to you.
Let's get freaky.
It's late in the pod. I'm interviewing you. Okay. And you just shot. You,
what am I wearing?
That deep V. It just keeps going down. You never know when it stops. So you shoot 61 on Saturday. Okay, here we go. Here's the interview. Here with Max Homa, very, very popular social media presence. Didn't know if you knew that. Max, great round on moving day.
What day? Today's Saturday.
Thank you. I need you as well in on this. I need you calling it out. So that's my good idea. My best shot I saw this week that I didn't see, so I guess kind of doesn't really go with the theme, was Ashton's iron on two. I was in trouble right in that four ball qualifier. It's
yeah.
par five, very easy par five. And I'm walking up to meet him because I'd hit my third shot kind of up by the greenside bunker. So I mean, I'm kind of trying to get it up and down for par. And I'm walking up and I look over. I'm like, how'd you do? And he's just got this grin.
Yeah.
You know? He's just got that, like, sly grin. And I'm like, good? And he's like, ah. And it's way back right. And he told me after, he's like, I thought it might have gone in. So I just was going to get up there and just see if there was no ball. But it was an awesome shot. So that was my best shot. I would like you to run through some flights you have, because most of our flights, unfortunately, have been about your tournament rounds. And then, you know, we don't have any tournament golf right now.
I haven't had a lot. And I haven't been playing all the days. Best shot, I saw someone hit. Tony Finau made a hole-in-one today and did not break his ankle. Or this week and did not break his ankle.
Huge.
That was exciting for
didn't run after
parties. It. Nope, just stayed there, you know, just kind of held his ground. Is smart.
Ray, real quick on the hole-in-one front, my buddy RJ Opeka, who was a great player in his own right. Don't you love that?
Nice.
Not a caddy. He's playing in the member at Phoenix Country Club this weekend with Andrew, with our buddy Andrew Omer. First hole of the tournament was number two at Phoenix, and RJ made a hole-in-one on the first hole.
Yeah, so you just walk off. Let's leave. See you in the bar.
That's it.
I'm done.
That's it. Yeah. We didn't. I don't care if we win or lose this thing.
Nope.
That's the only way to.
We just won.
I played this member literally perfect.
My buddy Casey's still to this day playing against his brother Chris. He made a double eagle on his 17th hole one day. They were playing stroke play, so they were even. He went up three through 17, makes double eagle through obviously three under albatross for all you fancy folk. Next hole makes a triple bogey. They push dead even. And he says to this day, he wishes he would have quit golf after that 17th hole and never touched a club again, because it has been downhill ever since. My flight first, I have a dumb idea. Finally.
Yeah. Nice. Let's hear it.
We, considering given the week, we should just play mud balls all the time. It would be wild.
Ooh.
The golf ball. I mean, the mud on the ball this week was insane. Like, you could get an entire like side of your golf ball. Today on the 18th hole, I had a good second shot, lands on the green and I can't see it. So I asked Joe, I'm like, dude, is that on the back of the green? Cause I didn't, you know, it felt like it was going to be, you know, 20-ish feet. And he goes, no, I think it's just past pin high. And I'm like, are you sure? I can't even see the ball. And I get up there and I realize I can't see the ball, cause the entire front side of it is mud. Like, it's just black. So it would be pretty hilarious. This is why it's a dumb idea, but it'd be pretty hilarious to play the entire day with just mud all over your golf ball, because the ball can do anything. For those who play this game at home, mud's on the right side of the golf ball. The ball just goes dead left, like mega
screams left.
Opposite, obviously. No one knows what it does. If the mud's on the front or the back, no one knows. Tiger Woods doesn't know, so.
Have you ever lied about a mud ball if you knew you're on TV and you hit a horrible shot? You ever been like, mud ball?
No, I wish I was on TV enough to say that, but I have not been, and I wouldn't lie. Maybe I'll add it to my repertoire.
Oh, I have an idea. I have a call for this. I have an idea for this. Do it at the Open.
Oh,
you know, it's super firm and dry. Just like 17, hit a shot left. Mud ball. What is this?
You should say it when you putt next time. Mud ball. Wind got me. Do you have any more flights?
I really like that. I like that a lot. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. What was your toughest on course decision of the week, Max?
I actually thought it was, yesterday. I was playing pretty well on the front or on the back. My front nine shot three under. Number one's a pretty tough hole if you don't hit the fairway. I miss it left in the trees, and we had like a window to hit like a crazy shot, but you know, I've been hitting my wedges well. Decided to pitch it out. I made bogey anyways, but it was nice to like not be an idiot. So, you know, like it was just pitch it out. We have, you know, 90, 100 yards. As Joe said, just trust your wedge play. You've been hitting your wedges great. I hit it to 12 or so feet, missed the putt. But I
felt
guess
good to make the smart decision.
Yeah, it's easy to say I could have hit that shot up there, you know, made par. But it's also easy to say I could have hit it out of bounds and made triple. So it was nice to go through the thought process and decide that, you know, based off of, you know, the rest of the week, the wedge play was good. So it's like, how about we just make this easy on ourselves? We're going to have a par putt. Let's not overcomplicate this. And so that was kind of the toughest decision of the week. out here, like I said, mostly you're just, you know, once you keep it between the trees, there's not a lot of like big decisions. So that was one of the few ones where I felt like we had to like talk through what we were going to do.
How was your early week COVID test? Like, was pretty just standard or
so? This is one of my flights. So this was the worst thing I heard this week. So as everyone knows, the first thing we do when we get on site is we take a COVID test. And for, you know, every week I've been here, I guess Bermuda was a little different. We had to do both nostrils, but typically it's just one nostril, get your test 2 hours later. This week I'm walking to the area where they're doing it. And I walk by Pat Perez. This is the worst thing I heard this week. And Pat Perez, who I'm friendly with, Arizona guy, he says, I'm pretty sure that guy in door number two has done jail time. And I said, what? And he's like, that was not gentle in the least. And then I walk about 10 more steps and Graham McDowell is like hands on knees, like wheezing. And I was like, what? And he goes, that was awful. So now all of a sudden the hype becomes like a lot, you know, you're overthinking it. And then we start to find out that they're doing both nostrils and your throat. And now I'm getting like, I'm getting the spins. I'm getting nervous. The questionnaire we had to fill out before we like took the test or had to answer was like, do you get nosebleeds often? Like, do you have a deviated septum? I'm like, how far are we going in this thing? So I end up, you know, I go in there. Gino Benelli, for people who don't know, Joel Damon's caddy, everyone should. You know, be as close of friends as you can with him. He's the best dude on the planet. But he was high anxiety that day. He said he's got a gag reflex. He doesn't like stuff in his nose. He's pretty much just the worst person you could ever imagine to have a COVID test. He's with me. We're waiting on, you know, what's about to happen. And I came out and it was bad. I'm not going to lie, guys. It was bad. I mean, that was, the way I kind of like summed it up was it's not so much that it hurt, although it did in my nose. I was also just more curious that my nose could go that deep. Like,
right. Like how far up can you go?
Yeah. You hear they connect, you know, somewhere in your throat, your nose does go back there, but you don't believe it. It seems to, I mean, your nose holes are down here. Like what, how far back could it really go?
Like I can go like this and can't see anything.
Yeah.
Like it's dark up there.
I told Gino, I walked right by him. I didn't want to tell him how it was because it was bad. And Gino comes running after me, goes, you have to tell me how it was. And I told him, and then he got scared. It was bad. I got back to my hotel room. I was telling my wife, Lacey, how bad it was. And she was laughing at me, obviously. But like, cause she's done, you know, tons of these COVID tests too, but she hasn't had one that was like awful yet. This one was, Bermuda was bad. This was like nothing I do COVID wise, like COVID test wise, will ever top this. Like it was insane.
That guy, the guy that gave you his test through his fastball is what you're telling
he
me.
Gave me. He threw the fastball. He was Aroldis Chapman. That thing was 102, and I don't think it was down the middle. It was up and away. It hurt me. But I told her, I said I could taste. Like I could feel the cotton swab. By the way, that was also it. It's a cotton swab, so it's thicker. I could taste it and feel it in the back of my throat, but I couldn't tell you if it was from my nose or my throat. Like it was that bad. It was the worst of all time. So as Pat Perez said, that guy may have done jail time.
Yeah, that's great. By the way, Gino, who is, to Max's point, a great follow on social media. His last name is spelled B-O-N-N-A-L-I-E, Gino Benelli.
Sounds
and,
right.
If you follow, and that's all together on Twitter. He's a great Twitter follow. He has an unbelievable picture of Joel. Don't call me Dom and Damon on a bike before the final round today. That I think, if nothing else, you'll want to see. An occasional co-host of this here podcast, Max. Great playing, man.
Do you have any more flights, Shane? Because I have one last one.
Oh, I do not have anything else. I'd love to hear what you have.
Here's a quick one. Adam Long played great this week. We have the same, I'm going to say PT for you because you hate when I say physio. He's on the table on Saturday. And he had apparently shot 29 on the front nine. So I walked in, they, you know, he and Edward say, hey, great plan. I say, thank you. And then Adam's next thing he says, so the second thing he told me was, why'd you only shoot 3 under on the front nine? And I didn't get it. So I was like, I don't know. And then and then Edward goes, he shot 7 under on the front nine. I'm like, oh, cool. Thanks, Adam. Really cool. Yeah, I guess we can't all be that good, but 3 under felt good for me.
Were you like, wait, what? What are you saying to me? I thought I played well.
Yeah, I was like, oh, so this is like a bit? Are we doing a bit? When you said good playing, you were joking?
You were setting me up. I got it. Now, I'm there. Now I'm here. And also, just to remind you, this is a physio free podcast. Joke. So, the word physio, free of this podcast forever. No mention ever again. Max, great playing. Pump for you.
Physio free.
Where are you going now? You returning? You going to get out of town for a little bit? What are you going to do?
Shane, I come back to Arizona. I've heard it's cold, which is a welcome sight.
I mean, cold is extremely relative, trust me.
Okay, but it's chilly. Cold, which means it was 67 degrees.
This morning, went on a walk with my son and my dog and my wife.
With steak?
And my wife literally said to me as we were walking out the door, are you sure it's not too cold for the dog? And it was like 54 degrees. It was 54 degrees. Said, I think Harlow is going to handle it. Hey, first event with the dog head cover. First event with the Scotty head cover, huh?
And Lacey loves it. The 3-wheel was good. It behaved. I think the head cover might be the magic.
Hey, all, had a couple of technical issues in that podcast. Hopefully it didn't affect your listening, but cutting in and out. Welcome to, a podcast recording with a pro athlete who is not in the continental area. That's what's going to happen. But thanks so much for listening. A couple of reminders. We have a podcast next week where it's going to be just junior golfer question and answers from us. If you have a question from a junior golfer, please include their name, their age, and email it to getagrippod@gmail.com. And also a reminder, on Tuesday at our Instagram page, @getagrippod, we'll post producer Tim's golf swing. Could be good, could be bad, we'll see. And we'll allow you all to roast the swing for a chance to win a very spiffy and very clean, and had I kind of won a steal, Masters hat that Max was kind enough to grab at Augusta National. And we'll send some other goodies in there as well. Some Get a Grip koozies, stickers, probably a Get a Grip hat, maybe some tees. So there'll be some additional bonuses in that little package. But make sure you jump on that, follow all the accounts you have to follow. And we'll be back next week. Max told me, as I mentioned to him, we had some technical issues. He said, please yell, wash your hands into the mic. So I'm just, to save your ears, I'm just going to say, wash your hands. Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.